You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Son Adam Khashoggi once said, if you want a successful yeshiva, and this is a kol, if you want a successful yeshiva, you need three things. You need a litvishe Rosh Yeshiva. You need a Hasidish Mashkiach, you know, with the Varmkeit, the litvishe Rosh Yeshiva gives the Lundis. The Hasidish Mashkiach gives the Varmkeit and the inspiration. And you need a Hungarian cook. Now, I don't know if Mr. Brisk is Hungarian. Okay, so what I would like to do is I would like to tell you the secrets of all three. Okay, so if I can touch upon the secrets of all three, I think we can walk away tonight with something. So I want to tell you the secrets of what the Litvisha Russia Yeshiva do, Uwe Prat in the Soviet. I'd like to tell you, Ishtikl, the secrets of what Hungarian cooks do or what they know. And Grada, it's interesting because we'll see in Rishonim explanations that do it right on the mark. And then the third thing is, I understand that this week was when the Satna Rebbe Zatzal escaped, when he escaped from Europe. I'd like to just get some insight in something that he said, and hopefully we can get chizuk from. I want to ask actually a question on something that he said. I think I have a teretz. And from that teretz, hopefully we can get some chizuk. The first thing is, Litvish Russia Yeshiva have something called a chakira. Now, not all of them have this concept, but a chakira means, how do you look at it? Do you look at it like this, or do you look at it like that? And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the son of the Beis Halevi, is Kedushei Reb Chaim, so many of the yeshivas follow that system. The Chazon Ish learned in Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's yeshiva, and he didn't agree with the Mahalach. Some yeshivas are straight brisk in the Litvish world. Other yeshivas, you know, they learn regular. I'll give you some examples. Hadlakas Neiros for Shabbos. What was the bracha on? Was the bracha on Kavod Shabbos? Or was it on Oinig Shabbos? Let's say you have one without the other. Do you make a bracha? Let's say, for example, you don't have Oinig. How do you not have Oinig? Beautiful lights here. Beautiful lights. If someone had these lights in their house and then they lit Shabbos candles, do they make a bracha? We're very careful not to make a bracha of Atala. Do you really have Oneg from a little candle? So many people have a chumra to shut the light off, and then, you know, they have either someone else turn it on or they have it in mind. This is, you know, because they hold that the ikar of the bracha is on Oneg. And there are numerous chakiras, and we're going to discuss the chakira by Dov Shalom Bala Olam. What's the tam? What is the tam why it does not work? And are there nafkaminas lahalacha? Now, by the way, the Chazon Ish made chayzik of people that overdid the chakira business. He, you know, someone told him a chakira. You know, there was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik also met a certain gadol, and the gadol told him his chiddush. What was the chiddush? He said that you can answer a few theories of Rambam's by understanding that there's a constant when a chassan goes to his wife and is mikdasher. There's a constant dibur of the baal, and this is pshat. If there's a constant dibur, so there's always a chalos kedusha. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was very sharp. And there's a machlokes as to what his answer was. First answer was, hey, Bazei, Kumsapira Mazata.
Right, because
Okay. The second version is Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. So even Rav Chaim Soloveitchik a little bit made chosik of the abuse of chakiras. So the Chazon Ish once said, someone told him a chakira that he didn't like. Chazon Ish said, what's pshat in someone who's Makal Shabbos in Klei Misa? Is it that, rather, someone who's Makal Shabbos, you know, that Shabbos is Avis, that Hashem created the world, and someone who's Makal, he deserves Misa? Or is it Be'etzem, everyone is Mechuyev Misa, but there's a Ptur in the Chiyuv Misa if you keep Shabbos? Okay, but I'd like to just discuss the issue, and I'd like to give a three-way chakira, and I'd like to go through the makaros. One shot in why you can't make a opinion in the davar shelo bala olam, because the person does not have smuchas das. The person doesn't have the das. He can't. It's not shayach that he really, if he doesn't have it, it's not shayach that he can give it over. Now there's a raya to this from the Nemuke Yosef in Bav Metzia on the Dapei Aviv on Lamed Zayin. He says this mufurish. Okay, so that's one shot that there's no smichas das, that a person can't bring himself to give it over. There's another tzad. And that is, it's felt in the kinyan. The Mabit in Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam, the Mabit says that it's kind of like a Gzeres HaKosev, because every time you have a kinyan in the Torah, it's always a Dover Sheba Olam. So it's Ke'ain a Gzeres HaKosev. Let me give you an example. Let's say I buy Rav Mati's car. Okay, I want to buy your car. Okay, but you're going to first sell it to the chef, to Mr. Brisk. Okay, so I go with Mr. Brisk to the Department of Motor Vehicles. And I say, I want to buy his car, but I'm buying it from him. He says, well, what will the DMV say? It will say, you can't do such a thing. You're not the owner. Well, wait, that's a third. So you can't do such a thing. So that is very understandable. There's certain laws of how to make a sale. And the same thing, there's a kinyan. And there's a kinyan, and it doesn't fit into the mahalaf of kinyanim. So who says this mahalaf? This is the Tashbats. The Tashbats kind of says this Mefurish. And then there's a third mahalaf. The third mahalaf is, it's not felt in kinyan. You can make a kinyan, but he's not the violin. This is a shtickle different than the second shot. You have to be the violin. You have to have bilus on it. If you don't have bilus or aspects of bilus, then you can't sell it. So these are three different mahalafim. The Shar Yosher, Rav Shimon Shkaf, one of the big Rashi Yeshiva, he says this third one. So now we have three different pshatim in why you can't make the kinyan in the Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Now, there are a number of exceptions, and there are a number of stiras, even within the same svar. So the Rashi Yeshiva all have shiurim on this, you know, how to be miyashiv this stira or that stira, how to explain, you know, there is a shita, this is a Mordechai. The Mordechai shita is that if you say, when it comes into existence, I sell this to you when it comes into existence, then it works. Now the Ramah brings this down. He brings both shitas in Reish Tes, in Siman Reish Tes. He brings the Mordechai, he brings the other tzad, and the Achronim say, well, we passed like this. But if you take a look at the Ramah, he doesn't say we passed like this. Later on, you know, he leaves it kind of
But later on, he seems to cost him like that. So it's a steer in the Ramon self. What I would like to do, is I'd like to also introduce a fourth sad. Now this fourth sad, okay, so before we do that, there's such a thing called a permutation. Permutation, it's shayach for some achronim to hold of the gzeres hakasev and not by them. So you have, since we have three mahalchim, you have six different combinations. And I believe you could go through every problem, and if you say, oh, he holds of reason Aleph and reason Gimel, he holds of reason Beis, you can answer every stira, you can be miyash of everything. Okay, so how is it, how are the six different mahalchim? There's Aleph, there's Beis, there's Gimel. Then someone could hold of Aleph and Beis, Aleph and Gimel, Beis and Gimel. There's six mahalchim to answer, and we could go through one number of them. Pidyon HaBen. Let's say you did a Pidyon HaBen a little bit earlier. Does it work? You did it before the 30 days. So if you hold of Smichas Das, so then you can. If you don't hold of Smichas Das, but you hold it's felt in the Kenyan, then you can. This is machlekes in the Poskim. That's how to... Now also, we sell chametz, right? We sell chametz. By chassidim, they sell real chametz or no? No. But you do sell not real chametz. Okay. So I'm not sure, but by us, by the Litvish, we do seven different kinyon. Some do six. Now what's the reason why we do so many kinyon? Because we're not sure whether this kinyon would work, you know, by goyim. We don't know. Generally, you need meshicha. You need the goy to be moishechet, to take it out. But we're not doing that. We're giving him the key, whatever. So we do shtar, we do kesef, we do kinyan agav, we do chatzer. There is another kinyan which the ktsos holds up. He says there's such a thing called kinyan odisa. Kinyan odisa means I admit that it's yours. I admit that it's yours. And he says that that doesn't work through the regular path of kinyan. Just admitting, it kind of like circumvents it. It's like, I don't know, when you steal a car, what's it called? Stealing a car? Is it hijacking?
Carjacking.
No, when you take the knife and you go and you take the wires.
Hot wire.
So thank you. shouldn't affect his shidduchim. Okay, so the Ktzos holds that Kinyan Odisa hot wires the Kinyan system. And it's a way of doing it without Kinyonim. Now this works perfectly with, this can answer so many questions. This can answer a number of questions, because even though there's no Kinyan, right, but there's a way to hotwire it using Kinyan Odisa. Now there's another Kinyan called Situmta. Situmta, the Ktzos also holds that works through hotwiring. What is Kinyan Situmta? That's the agreed upon method of how it's going. When people shake hands, that's the way people do business. So many people hold that in the Ktzos, you also say Situmta, it works through hotwiring the Kinyan system. Now, with this, very well could be that you can, according to the Ktzos, there are many situations where you can do a Kinyan in a Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Let me give you there's another, the Rama discusses a case where both of you are exchanging a davar shelo bala olam. So I'm selling you something that doesn't exist, and you're trading it also for something that doesn't exist. So many shitas hold that works. How would that happen? So it could very well be that the regular mahalach of of kinyan, the regular mahalach of kinyan that people do, can work through situmta, and it can hijack it. That's one shot. Now, the other question is, if you remember the Gemara, what does Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir holds that you can be makin b'shul. So what's shot there? So I'd like to say that maybe he holds that it's smithas das, and gabe, you know, the pasuk, gabe the psukim, you have the regular sale that works through Odisa or Situmta in every pinyin, and he holds it's smithas das, and you do have smithas das. So that explains Rav Meir too. So no, because smichas das means, I'll give you a marshal that most of you probably won't know. About 200 years ago, there were two brothers named the Grimm brothers. And what they did was they told fairy tales and stories. And so I'll tell you one. There was a king that was looking for a wife. And every person in the town said, oh, my daughter, she's great, she's this, she's that. So one person said, my daughter is beautiful and she can also spin straw into gold. So what happened? So the king took her and said, if you do it, you know, here's a straw, here's the machine. If you do it, I'll marry you. Okay, if not, I'll kill you. So she's crying in the room. She doesn't know what to do. This old man dwarf comes and says, why are you crying? She tells him, and he says, I'll do it for you, but you have to give me your firstborn child. You have to give me your firstborn child. She didn't know what to do, so she said, okay. Anyway, the king married her. A year later, what happened? She's got a child, and he comes. Now, she could say, sorry, this is Elder Shalom Ba'alolam, and it's not kind. He said, don't you remember? I said to give me your child when he's born. That's when the Kenyan will be caught. Okay, so that fits with the Mordechai. So, and he said, you're allowed to sell a davar shelo bala olam. If you look at the mafarshim, you're allowed to sell a davar shelo bala olam when you need food for that day. So that's one of the exceptions. You needed to live. So kal v'chomer. So you know, you could go back and forth, you know, with these reasons. But odisa, kinyan odisa and situmta, if you hold that situmta works mitam odisa, that works through.
Hot water.
That hot water. Okay, but the etzem, you know, she could have said, listen, I didn't have smichas das. You know, no mother knows what it is to have a child beforehand. Okay, so I just wanted to give us a taste a little bit of the chakiras and how to answer, you know, any stirrings, especially with, you know, with the idea of bitzos. The next thing I wanted to discuss was, what did we say? We said, with this Rosh Hashiva, let's get to Hungarian chef, Hungarian cook. If you take a look at the Rishonim, Bishul happens when it starts when it reaches Michael Ben Brusoy. Once it starts cooking Michael Ben Brusoy, that's when Bishul happens. A lot of people made poison with this. I said, oh, come on, what is Michael, what temperature, I'm sorry, Yatsa Lettuce is the beginning of Michael Ben Brusoy. Right, so how could that be? I'd like to suggest, everyone knows now that there's such a thing called sous vide, right? You've heard of sous vide?
No.
It's slow cooking. Right, and what temperature is it? 140. There's such a thing called the Maillard effect. The Maillard effect is when cooking begins. So the secret to Hungarian cooking is low flame, long time. Low flame, long time, meat becomes soft as anything. Did you ever wonder, by the way, why meat?
why some cuts are $25 a pound, other cuts are $6 a pound. What's the pshat? Does anyone know? Why are some... So the teretz is... Everyone understand the question? Marbleization. Okay. You know, by the way, you know, there are people in the five towns, they're saying hallel, that when Yaakov fought with the Malach, that it was the Dida Nasha and not fine rib. Fine rib? Oh, you did. Okay. All right. So the answer is there are parts of our body that are not so muscular. And there are other parts that are muscular. So on the cow, the parts that are muscular, so those are cheaper. That's why veal, what do they do with veal? You know, a lot of the modernish people say, oh, veal shouldn't be kosher. Why do they say it shouldn't be kosher? Because they keep the calf in a box so that it doesn't move. Why do they do that? It won't develop muscles. Yeah, so it'll stay soft. So they say that's Tzar Bal Chaim. I don't think it's Tzar Bal Chaim, but okay. So that's one of the secrets, is you got to break down the collagen, the tissue. And the way to break that down, there are different ways to break it down, you know, but slow cooking for a long time, that does it. Otherwise, you get a very cut. You know, sometimes you can break it down by using a meat tenderizer. And then there are also chemicals that do it. Salt does it, pineapple juice does it, So this is the secret. The main secret of Hungarian chefs is slow. Yeah. Okay, so now let's get to, what was the third one again? Oh, Hasidish Mashkir. Okay. We have Shachris. Who was Misakin Shachris? I don't know. Who's Misakin Mincha? Yitzchak. And who's Misakin Ma'ariv?
Yeah.
Now, Ma'ariv, like the Gemara, is... Ma'ariv, like the Gemara, is what? Is Rishus. So, is it Shaya that Yaakov Avinu was Misakin it the Torah's Choy, and we came along and said it's Rishus? Can't be. It must be that Yaakov Avinu was misaken it as a rishus. So the question is, why did he do that? Also, another question is, now it's a chayv. So, shtickle chutzpah. How do we take something that Yaakov Avinu was misaken as a rishus and make it a chayv? Okay, so that's two questions. Third question is, Vayikra. That lashon, you know, Vayikra Yitzchak Lashuach Chasadet. The lashon of Vayikra B'makom is a stronger lashon than the other two. So if it's a stronger lashon, it's more bakasha. So why is it a rishus? It should be even more of a chayv. So the Satmar Rebbe asks this question, asks these three questions. So it gives a beautiful teretz. What's the beautiful teretz? The beautiful teretz is, in the Arizal, it says that Laila, the Arvis, that night, is Messiah of the Golas, like the long, dark Golas that we're in. And Golas, we had a choice. We could have followed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do, or we could have not listened to him. So that was a rishus. So he was misaking this tefillah, which will be with us for the gullus, but it's a rishus. We didn't have to do it. We didn't have to daven that way. We could have just went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and listened to everything he said. Now, however, that we are in the gullus, now it's a chayv. Okay, so that's in the Divrei Yoel. I think it's Vayese. It's Brada in the section of the Hesped that he gave when Ravon Kutler was then. Oh, go ahead. So now I have a question.
question is, wait, in the Gemara itself is after the Golos, right? When the Gemara, when the Mishnah discusses it, it's after the Golos, right? The Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, was in the year 200. All this happened after the base, after the Churban. So if the Gemara says it's a Rishus, it's only later. So what's pshat? What's pshat in the Tanya? Good question. You have a teretz? So I'd like to suggest that the teretz is here tonight. Teretz to this question. In the Gemara, they were learning like there was no tomorrow. And the kayah, the or of Torah, is as if there is no golus. When you learn Torah, when you dedicate yourself to Torah like they did in the time of the Gemara, so it's like it was, so it's still a reshut. So I want to say that everyone here deserves an incredible yesha kayah for making Torah primary. I just want to tell you, Leah, she named her son Reuven. Rashi tells us, Reuven, look at the difference between my son, Rashi says, and my in-law's son, Esav. When Esav lost the Bechaira, Vayitza Tzaka Gdoyla Umara. When Reuven lost it, Vayidon. Think about it. He was the Bechor. His descendant would have been Mashiach. He, the whole Malchus of Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech, Tehillim. Now look at that, for thousands of years we've been saying Tehillim. And Reuven lost it. But Reuven learned Torah. And the learning of Torah catapults you to a level of malachim, to a level, you're a malach. You know, there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos where two people made a bet for 400 zuz, right? What was the bet? To see who could get Hillel angry. What did they do? And he said, I'll bet you I could do it. So he goes in, and it's Erev Shabbos, you're taking a shower back then, it's not like it is now. He says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. So he comes out and he says, yes. Right. So he asks him a crazy question. Why are people, from Africa with rounded heads? So he says, oh, it's an incredible question. And he gives the parrots. He says something about their midwives. So what does he do? He goes back in and the person waits till he's lathered up again. And then he says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Then he asks another question. And it happens a third time as well. And he says, I wish there were no more like you. So he says, why? He says, because of you, I lost 400 zuz. He said, better you should lose your 400 zuz than I should lose my temple. Anyway, if you take a look at it, this is a madrega of a malach Elohim. I want to tell you a terrible story. Horrible story. There was someone who wanted to make it big in World War I, with the Tsar's secret police. And what did he do? He planted the Kovno, the city of Kovno, was surrounded by seven forts. So he planted pictures of it in the yeshiva of the Chafetz Chaim, in the coat jacket of one of the Bachram in Yeshiva. This Bachram was from Germany, and he came to Poland to learn by the Chafetz Chaim. And anyway, they arrested him. They arrested the Chafetz Chaim's brother-in-law. And so the Chafetz Chaim, he got a lawyer, and the Chafetz Chaim himself testified at that military court hearing. So the lawyer, who's a guy, he said, just want to tell you who's testifying here. This is the Chofetz Chaim. He wrote a sefer, you know, about Lashon Hara, and it's the whole world reads it, learns it. And, you know, he had a store, and someone stole an apple, and he chased after him 5 kilometers to tell him he was Michael, to tell him he forgave him. So what did the judge say? The judge said to the lawyer, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? So you see from here that what Torah can do is take you to such a madrega where your regular judge can't believe that it's true. Yet we know that it is true. So what I'm saying is that you're coming here, you're coming to learn Torah Lishma is just an incredible, incredible thing. And what does it do? It catapults us to madrega of malachim mamish. And you know that this is true because you never see that, you know, we read all the time acts of incredible tzidkus that are only by yin, that are only by B'nai Torah. And you don't find this in any other place, in any other venue. My second son was born. We made a Shalom Zachar upstate in was Liberty. What happened? My brother-in-law came from Lakewood, and his car died. So he had 2 twins. You know, people stopped, and they said, yeah, sure, no problem. You take your wife and daughters. And they took homage to the camp where we were at. Anyway, what happened with the car? So my brother-in-law stayed to take care of the car. Someone stopped, Hasidish guy. He said, okay, you know, I'm going to 118 or something. You take my car, Weiter, which is an extra 45 minutes, and bring it back, Matzah Shabbos. This is Meisim B'chol Yom, right? This happens in our community, and what is it? That's what Torah can do. I have a friend, I'm sure many people heard this story, but it happened to my friend. In Goa Park, there's an architect named Moish Brazel. I don't know if anyone ever used him, but anyway, his son was learning in Connecticut or whatever. He was driving on the 17th, and he saw Nebuch, a Yid, in a flat tire. So he pulled over, and he offered to help him. Comes closer, and he sees that he's got a big black yarmulke, and he also has a Shesi Vehera. He's wearing Shesi Vehera. I can't believe it, but he says, all right, let me change the tire, and then I'll ask him. So he changes the tire. He says, what's the deal? Why are you wearing a yarmulke and this cross? He says, oh, this. I'm not Jewish. My mother gave me this. She said that Jews, if you're ever stuck on Route 17, keep this on. Jews will stop and they will help you in whatever way they can. And he said, and it works. It's better than triple A. Anyway, this was a Puerto Rican person, I don't know. And he said, oh, I'm not Jewish. I'm Puerto Rican. Anyway, what you see from all this, and every one of you has stories like this as well. What you see, Torah has this amazing koyach to uplift us to be mamish malachei Elokim. And we have to appreciate, you know, I was just in Mincha. We say Valetzion. Why do we say Valetzion? Because there's a special kedusha to it. And to be ready for Kriyas HaTorah, there's an or of that Kriyas HaTorah that is just an unbelievable or. And in order to be prepared for it, we say the kedusha in Uvalitzion, and also at the end as well. So, you know, the Torah is an incredible, incredible thing. It can catapult us. It's out of this world. It pre-existed the world itself, and just learning Torah Lishma can bring us to
Hegel de Midos, and I want to stand up for all of you, because what you do here, Balabatim learning, I just want to tell you a story. Ramatis Yahu Solomon was the Mashkiach of Lakewood, and he came, it was when he first came, and he was from England originally, and there was an Aguda, not an Aguda convention, but Aguda does something called...
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
An accountant. There's such a thing called CME. Does anyone know what CME is? It's for doctors. It's called Continuing Medical Education. A few years ago, they passed the law that every doctor, except for those that were grandfathered in, has to, every 2 years, has to take new courses. The same thing is true with lawyers. Lawyers, what is it called? CLE, Continuing Legal Education. Accountants, I think it's CAE or something. But regardless, Rav Matis Yahu Solomon did not really know how these things work. You know, this continues. So what did Aguda do? Aguda had like all, let's say, 1,500 lawyers, from lawyers, and they said, okay, come, we'll give you kosher food. I'll have a whole day of shiurim having to do with halacha and law. And this way, you can meet your friends, you'll be learning Torah, you could do your CLE without all this mishigasim, and it's a beautiful idea. Anyway, so they had Rav Matis Yahu Solomon speak. I was sitting next to Chaim Davidsky Bell. This must have been 30 years ago. And he said, I don't do a good English accent, but I'll try. He said, this is amazing. Balabatim such as yourselves coming here to learn Torah Lishma for no other reason other than learning Torah Lishma. So I said to Chaim David, to me, Bell, I said, you didn't tell him, did you? He said, I told him, but I don't think he understood. Anyway, what you are doing, you're not getting CLE credits here. Right? You're not getting CME credits here. You're coming just to learn Torah Lishma, have a very chashuv Rosh Kollel, and you're learning Yevamos. You know, most people, you know, after a long day at work, learning Yevamos is the last mesech that you want to learn. But you are doing it, and I must stand up for you. Right, he said,
I don't know if it's true, but I'm
Then I'll say, I don't know if you're interested, but tonight was the first night where we said St. Kalamata. And do you have a few more minutes, or?
Yeah, sure.
A few more hours, something like that.
Oh, okay, so.
It's Master Shabbos, we have all night.
So my Zayda collected Sfarim, and his father collected Sfarim. And so I have a handwritten Shulchan Aruch about 450 years old, maybe 500 years old. And I looked, you know, passed down. It's beautiful to have like this farm. See, I even trust him, you know, even though he doesn't pass down. So in my Shulchan Aruch, it says when you start saying the same Talu Mata. Anyone know? I know Zion Chesron is in Eretz Yisrael. But it gives the Goyish date. November. November 20th.
Wow.
Let me explain why. I'm going to explain why. Yeah. Okay. Let me explain why. Okay. How many days you know, the Jewish calendar is a lunar, solar calendar. In other words, it's not a lunar solar. It's a lunar solar. What does that mean? You know, are we familiar with when we have an extra month? When do we add an extra other Rishon? Anyone know? So it's called the Guach Luach. I actually made that up, but that's what I call it. Okay. Guach is every 19 years, we have seven leap years. We have Gimel, Vav, Ches. So the third year, the sixth year, and the eighth year. So these are all leap years. Then it's, you know, I have a song for it. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'll sing it. Hmm. 3-3-2, 3-3-3-2. Okay, so the third year, another 3 years, then two. Then you do it again, but with three this time. So it's 3-3-2, 3-3-3-2. So 3-3-2, 3-3-3-2. So those are the 7 years in the 19-year cycle. So 57 is 19 times 3, right? 57 is 303. So let's subtract that from, what year is it now? 5781. So 81 minus 57 is what? 81 minus 57 is what? 21 plus 3, right? 21 plus 3 is 24. So we take away another 19. So we're in the fifth year. So is this coming year, do we have an extra Adar? No, because it's Guach Luach. Next year will be Vav in the 19-year cycle. So everyone with me? Okay, so Pei Beis will be the sixth year in the cycle, which is one of the seven. Okay. So, and then, you know, it goes by 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19. Okay. Now, how many days in a year, also another thing, you know, your Goyish birthday, your English birthday, Netzachama and Shkia are always the same time. So, and we know that, and we use also the solar year. And that's pshat. We don't want, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says Shamar es Chodesh Ha'aviv. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. What do? We want to make sure that Pesach is in the spring. So that's why we do this, why we have the Guach Luach. Okay, everyone with me so far? Okay, now, so in Chutz La'aretz, so how many days in a year? Anyone know? How many days in a year?
365,
exactly. So in the Goyish year, it's 365 and a quarter days. Okay, and every 4 years, there's a Goyish leap year, which is February 29th. Okay, now, the truth is, it's not exactly 365 and a quarter. It's missing Gematria Ad Sheish. What's Gematria Ad Sheish? Ad is 74. Sheish is 600. So it's missing 674 seconds. So it's missing 11 minutes and 14 seconds every year. Now, when was the original Goyish calendar invented? 10 years before the Kurva. Julius Caesar invented it. Okay, and that's 3.25 days. But Shmuel says, yeah, that's what we use. We use 3.25 days in Chutz Laretz. Okay. Now, I'm going to take you to the 1560s. 1560s, the Pope saw that originally in the year 300, they made like a calendar. They made like a calendar in where the Christians were near Eretz Yisrael. And he saw that it was off. So what did he do? He said, he didn't know what it was, and then heard from experts, and he said, because it's missing 11 minutes. So he made a new calendar. That's called the Gregorian calendar. Now, it makes for Naphtaminas because the Pope is what religion?
Catholic.
Protestants, halt nicht von Catholic. Russians, halt nicht von Catholic. So Pope Gregory made three takanas in his new calendar. The first thing he did was he changed November 20th. The next day was December 1st. That's takana number one that he made. Takana number two that he made was every 100 years, there won't be a leap year. Okay, so in the year 1900, there was no leap year. The year 1800, there was no leap year. There was no February 29th. 1700, no February 29th. Then he made a third takana. Every 400 years, there will be a leap year. That's what happened in the year 2000. The year 2000, you know, there was a leap year. Okay, so what does this mean? So in the 1700s, let's say the year was 1650. So back then, we were saying St. Kalamater when? December 1st. Okay, but the year 1750, when did we start saying it? December 2nd. 1850, when did we say it? December 3rd. 1950 or 1980 or 1990, when did we start saying it? No, December 4th. December 4th. It's December 5th before it's... Okay, now we had a leap year, so it didn't change. But in the year 2100, when are we going to start saying it? December 5th. So I brought you, so this is going to be a change in our Siddurim. So I brought everyone stickers that you could put, you know, when Mitzvah Shem, when the time comes, you could just put December. Okay, I'm actually kidding. I did not bring stickers. But I figured this is the time to discuss this so that we'll have a
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.